Welcome to the show, sports fans. This is the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com.
That's right. Welcome in. It is another edition of the Treasure Valley Prepcast on idahosports.com, where we break down the biggest stories in District 3 athletics week in, week out in the great state of Idaho. We are coming to you live on a Friday morning slash afternoon. It is Friday, May 3rd, 2024, coming at you live on the idahosports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, and Twitter account. Big thanks to everybody that's tuning in live. You can also, of course, go back on replay and watch these prep casts anytime you want to, or listen at idahosports.com or wherever you download and subscribe to podcasts. My name is Brandon Bainey, but the guy you really came to see is our Treasure Valley resident and expert, Logan Green. What's up, Logan?
Yeah, that's a strong lead in that everybody came here to see me. Most people can't wait till it's over, so they don't have to see us, but here we are. Here we are. Down to the end, Brandon. It's kind of crazy. I mean, my kids just asking me, like, how many days left of school? And, you know, usually you hear that question in January and you're like, just forget about it. You're not going to know. And then I look and I'm like 13? Like, what the heck? I can't believe where'd the year go?
It's insane. I mean, the state weekend of competition, you know, track, tennis, baseball, softball. It is in 2 weeks, Logan.
Yeah.
I'm not ready for that.
Yeah. But, like 2 weeks from today, we'll be doing semifinal baseball games, right? Like what the heck?
Yes. Idahosports.com will once again be broadcasting every single pitch from all five state baseball tournaments. And we'll talk more about that on our state baseball preview special coming up in a week and a half as well. More details to follow. But for our show today, Logan, we're still breaking out the brackets. It is just district tournament time for softball and baseball. So what's going to happen is, if you're watching this on the idahosports.com YouTube channel, Facebook page, or Twitter account, I'm going to share my screen, put the brackets up, and you can view them that way as we dissect the matchups. If you're listening audio only, it's all good. We have all of the district brackets on our homepage at idahosports.com, and you can follow along that way. We already have a comment before we even started the show here, Logan, from Pierce, our good friend from East Idaho. Guess what, Brandon? It snowed today in Pokey. It's May. What is this weather? Yeah, there was a couple of the Highland baseball team was supposed to play their opening round game on Wednesday. It had to be postponed to Thursday. So Highland played back-to-back district tournament games yesterday just to keep the tournament schedule on track. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it didn't snow here. But last night, like my son had a flag football game and everybody was bundled up and a little chilly. And it was sprinkling, and it was just like if it's doing this here, it's going to be snowing somewhere else. So not surprising to see that it snowed over in Pocatello. So a flag football is not going as well when Coach Green is not at the helm. So that will not continue for another season. Coach Green will be back in the saddle next fall. So
that sounds good.
Yeah.
Going to be after your 1 year hiatus, just like Bill Belichick.
You're going to
come back.
I'll be back. And my son comes off and he's like, "Dad, we don't have any plays. We don't have any." And I think he's a little frustrated. And I'm not going to be that dad from the sideline that's trying to coach the game. But
you kind of already did. So no, I'm just kidding.
No, not on. But I am the dad that when he gets the ball, I am like screaming, not at him, like go, go, go. Like he had a. You know, the field, I don't know, it's 70 yards. I don't know what it is. They start at the 5 yard line and he caught a 95 yard touchdown pass. And I'm sure people in Canada heard me yelling, go, go, go. He just took it all the way to the house. I am that's me as a dad. Like my kid touches it, I'm going to be annoying. But not in a bad way. Not like, hey, get over here, do this, do that. But more of a, you got it. Go, go, go. So anyways,
there's two, yeah. And then we'll get back on track here in just a second. There's two kind of common shouts that occur from fans and parents at games, whether it's little league all the way up to high school or even college, right? If you're cheering for the team that has the ball, it's go, 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 go. And if you're cheering the team that's on defense, it's get him.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we heard a lot of get him. Okay, they got shut out last night, and twice the other team scored and on their two-point conversion, because they go for one or two, but two, we intercepted it and got stopped at like the 1 yard line. I'm like, can you just let them get in there? But you know, their whole like it is that was very. We were all yelling go. They were all yelling get them. It's that's very true. That's very true. Those were the three words being spoken. Go, go, go. Get them, get them, get them. But anyway, back to district baseball and softball tournaments.
Yeah, let's do it. I think that'll be our podcast title. Go, get them.
Yeah, go, get them.
Yeah.
Go. Really. You got to do the semicolon.
Yeah.
Not go get them. It's go get them.
Yeah, I think I'll do go, exclamation mark. Get them, exclamation mark.
Yeah, there you
mark.
Go. Okay, that works. Yeah. That works.
Yeah, so there's the podcast title. All right, already out of the way. All right, let's get to it. Here are the you want to start baseball or softball, Logan? I gave all of our other prep casters this week the choice.
Let's do softball. Let's start with softball.
Okay, that's been a pretty common. Okay, and then do you want to go 1A to 5A? Or you want to go 5A to
5A? Yep, we'll go bottom to top.
All right, I like it. I like giving you guys some autonomy here. So, okay, here is the 5A district bracket. There's not much to fill in here yet, Logan. We're still kind of waiting on what the official final standings in the conference look like, but Glens Ferry has pretty much locked up the number one seed. And this is important, Logan, because whoever finishes first and second gets a double bye and surpasses the, you know, losing your done games. So they essentially are assured at least a top four finish. And three of the top four automatically get to go to state. A fourth team could still qualify. It would have to be via an at-large bid from Max Prep. So the way it works at the 1A softball tournament is three teams from the north get to go, three teams from this district get to go, and the final two spots are then awarded based upon who has the best Max Preps ranking. So when we look at or go ahead, Logan.
Well, no, just what you're saying, right? It's really important, right? You don't want to be in that fourth spot and have to hope that you get to go, especially in the district, right? Glens Ferry, right? They're there, you know, they're what they are. They're really good. And they're undefeated in conference play right now, but below it, you've got Garden Valley looks pretty good, right? Only three losses, but below you've got kind of a mix, right? You've got Idaho City, Greenleaf, and Vision Charter, all that, you know, could potentially, it just takes one bad game and one good game and you're at home and they're still playing, right? You know, I would say Glens Ferry probably going, and you look at it and say Garden Valley probably in that spot too. But you know, if you're playing early, it just takes one slip up to have an accident. When, you know, you're Glens Ferry or whoever finishes second there, you know, you need to win one game to go to state. And I like, and we saw this in basketball this year, there was a couple brackets that were set up this day that rewarded the regular season. And I like how this also rewards you for what you've done in the regular season. But really important to be that number two spot.
Yeah, right now, here's what we can pencil in. Everybody is supposed to play 12 conference games. I don't know if that's going to happen. A lot of games got postponed. Did they get made up? I'm not sure. Some scores are still missing. You know, they didn't get reported, whatever. I always wait to see what the official league standings look like in this league in particular, right? Because sometimes the reporting is incomplete. We do know Glens Ferry's number one. They're 11-0. They have one conference game left today against Idaho City, even if they lost that. I guess technically Garden Valley. Well, no, Garden Valley couldn't catch them in the last
three losses. But yep, it sets up an interesting final games of the year, right? Because, you know, Garden Valley plays Vision Charter. And then, like you said, Idaho City plays Glens Ferry. So there's still a lot to play for these teams on the last week of the season.
Yeah. And right now, the teams that will have not a full set of games are like Garden Valley, Vision Charter, and like Wilder are, you know, are the teams that I'm looking at that are kind of missing games, and maybe they'll make them up somewhere. Maybe they won't. I mean, the tournament starts next Thursday, so there is a little room on the runway. I haven't seen any info yet on that, but essentially, to me, it's kind of a top five that are contending here. Glens Ferry, Garden Valley, Idaho City. Greenleaf is very sneaky. I think Greenleaf is coming in a little underhyped. They're 8-7 overall, 6-6 in the conference. They're done. They've played their conference slate. And then Vision Charter got to state last year. And so I think they're a team you could still keep an eye on too. But
yeah, I think you've got, you know, you've got your two, I think probably that we're going to see, right? And then it's going to be a battle for that automatic third. And then, you know, it should be interesting to see whoever is in that fourth place game or, you know, finishes in fourth, if they're going to be able to get one of those other bids.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see it all unfold. And this will be held at the Gals Field complex over there in Caldwell, the Quads. 2A is going to be going on there at the exact same time, Logan. So you're going to have two separate district tournaments going, which is a good transition to the 2A Western Idaho Conference Tournament, where Coal Valley Christian is the one seed. New Plymouth got the two. Napa Christian, three. Melba, four. Marcin, five. Marcin still has one more game today, but even if they were to win that, they would be tied with Melba, but Melba wins the tiebreaker. So the seedings are all set. First round games next Wednesday. Coal Valley will host Marcin at Heritage Middle School, and then Napa Christian will play Melba in New Plymouth. The winner of that game will then have to immediately play the Pilgrims, who got the first round bye. It's kind of a weird bracket where if number one Coal Valley wins, they get a bye all the way to the district championship game, whereas New Plymouth gets the first round bye and then would have to win a semifinal to get to the championship.
Right. So either way, it's a one win for your top two seeds to make it to the second round. But man, talk about coming in close, right? It was on the first, right? That three and that second and third spot were decided between New Plymouth and Napa Christian. Napa Christian beat New Plymouth to come within a game. Sorry, I was thinking of it flipped. Napa Christian beat New Plymouth to come within a game to get to that third spot. They beat them in extra innings on Wednesday. So that could be an interesting second round matchup between Napa Christian and New Plymouth. They're in that potentially, right? They got to get through Melba first as Napa Christian, but that would be a fun second round game potentially.
Yeah, to me, it's kind of a top three: Coal Valley, New Plymouth, Napa Christian. Two spots available from this conference to state. So, really, if Coal Valley can win here, they'd be set up pretty well. Even if they lost, I mean, they would still have to win this, you know, third place game over here. But to me, it's going to be those three teams. And I think Coal Valley gets one of the spots, and we'll have to see who can come out on top here between New Plymouth and Napa Christian. It wouldn't surprise me if those two were meeting again right here on the backside of the bracket. But
you would just think on paper that's probably how it's going to end up. Cause I mean, Napa Christian and New Plymouth have played tough schedules, but Coal Valley is just, they're on a roll right now. They haven't lost. They lost on April 12th to Malad in that tournament in Glens Ferry, and they haven't lost since then. And before that, their last loss were to 5A teams. So I like what Coal Valley Christian has going right now.
Yep, that is the 2A district tournament, and the first round games will be played by the home schools, and then once you get to the championship and the backside of the bracket, those will all be at the Gals Field complex there in Caldwell. 3A, Snake River Valley Conference, the higher seed will host throughout. So here we have another a six-team conference here, Logan, where Homedale and Weezer were your top two teams. They get the opening round byes, and they will host semifinal games on Monday night at each of their respective facilities. Meanwhile, the opening round is Saturday, Logan, at number five Fruitland, at number four McCall Donnelly, 11 o'clock first pitch in the morning, and then number six Payette at number three Parma on Saturday at 1 o'clock. Fruitland played McCall Donnelly this week, Logan, in their regular season finale, and McCall Donnelly got the win, and because of that, the Vandals got the home game for the first round of districts along with it.
Yeah, that's a big one, right? We just talked about McCall Donnelly getting to play at home last week on the prep cast, and now they've earned a home district game. That's big for them. They're always the ones having to travel, and now they get to stay at home. and have Fruitland come around the mountain and play a game. But man, you look at it, there's some tough teams, right? Parma, a three seed. That's a good three seed. Homedale undefeated. So I believe now the are undefeated in conference. So Homedale baseball and softball programs did not lose a regular season game between the two programs this year in the conference play. So that's a very impressive for Homedale. If you're looking at the one seeds, right, going forward. So, and we'll get to the baseball, but for softball, right, undefeated 10-0 in conference. Weezer's played a good schedule as well. They finished up. They had a game. Where did it go? I had it right here. Right, they beat Columbia. Right, we talked about a couple of times on the softball side. They beat them to close out the season on Tuesday. So, looking forward to seeing what they've got going for them at the district tournament as well.
Yeah, so Homedale's the favorite coming in. Weezer lost to Homedale twice in the regular season. Once was pretty close, 17-13, you know, four-run game, but high-scoring game. And then they lost 11-6. But then I look at the gap between Weezer and Parma and even McCall Donnelly here. It's pretty close. I mean, Weezer split with Parma in the regular season, and they did sweep McCall Donnelly, but it was two hard-fought wins, 6-3, and then in McCall, they had to win in extra innings, in 8 innings, 8-7. So to me, I like Homedale. The question is, who can join them? The nice thing about this district, Logan, is that three teams get to go to state.
And I think that's good, right? They've got three really solid teams. Because, Brandon, you even look at it like Homedale, right? They, over the last month, I mean, they beat Parma, but it was 10-7. McCall Donnelly was 9-4. That game against Weezer was 11-6. They're not, you know, they're winning games, right? But it's these other teams they're fighting, they're scrapping, and maybe somebody can get one. We see this all the time, right? Sometimes in district where a team is undefeated and somebody's just been on their coattails and finally steps on that coattail and catches up. So it's a dangerous tournament. Like you said, I think Homedale's the favorite. But it wouldn't surprise me if we see, if it's McCall Donnelly who ends up punching a ticket to state, or Weezer or Parma. You know, I think any of these teams can get it done.
Yep, it's going to be really fun to see. There's going to be one good team that's kind of left out in the cold, but you'll have plenty of opportunities to earn your way to state. So if you didn't get there, you know, it's kind of on you a little bit. So that's what's going on at 3A. Let's go to the 4A, Southern Idaho Conference. And again, this is softball, Logan. We talked about last week on the show, Bishop Kelly and Emmett were the top two teams. They were on this collision course. They were going to play twice in the span of a week. We'd have plenty to talk about on the prep cast. It didn't disappoint, Logan. They played last Tuesday at BK, and the Knights got a 6-4 victory. And then in the rematch, Emmett won on their home field on Monday night, 8-3, but then Emmett with a chance to force the tie with Bishop Kelly. And I could be wrong on this, but I think they would have been the first place team based on the run differential, right? BK only beat them by 2, whereas Emmett beat BK by 5. Mm-hmm. They went out the next night and lost to Skyview 6-4. So it rendered it all moot. So Emmett finished with 2 league losses. BK only finished with 1. Either way, they're the top 2 seeds. They have first round buys and will play on Monday night.
Yeah. You got to like on paper those two teams, but hey, you know what? Skyview did just beat Emmett, and you know, the way it lines up, Skyview's the 3. If they're able to get past Ridgeview, that's going to set up a Emmett Skyview game there in that semifinal round. And you know, based on what we saw, so Emmett did beat them 9-3 earlier in the year, but then the latest result, so they split, right? So Emmett looking, you know, you look ahead and you say, we beat everybody that's in front of us, right? We beat Bishop Kelly, you know, we lost to him, but then we beat him. And then Skyview, we did lose to him, but we have beat them. So, you know, you've got that adds some extra flavor, right? Where you're basically 500 against the two teams you will more than likely be facing coming up soon.
Yeah. First round games Saturday, Logan, number 3 Skyview hosting number 6 Ridgeview at high noon. And then it's number 4 Valley View hosting number 5 Caldwell Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning. And I really think I like BK to get a spot. The second spot to me could be Emmett, could be Skyview. I even think Valley View's in play here. You know, Valley View kind of quietly went 7-5 in conference play this year and pushed a lot of these teams. I mean, just look at when they played Emmett. Emmett did win both games in the regular season, but 6-4 and 6-2. I mean, two pretty close contests.
Yeah, and you know, they did play a pretty tough schedule non-conference, right? They played Nampa, right? So they played a 5A team. I think Nampa's playing a different schedule, but they played Capital. They played Sugar Salem. They played Burley, Pocatello, Middleton, Bora, Centennial. Like, this is a team that really tested themselves outside of the conference play. So, yeah, watch out for Valley View. They could be a sneaky team come tournament time. They seem to be like that, Valley View, in most sports, right? Like, they seem, in boys basketball, they find a way to state when they finish, like, fourth in the conference or something like that. That's not uncommon to see from Valley View.
In football, they've had, you know, some upsets.
They go and they upset a team on the road in the first round, and they did that, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, they upset Minico, undefeated Minico.
Yeah, just that just seems to be Valley View's. They're just not a team you want to see in the postseason. I think they're just sneaky.
Yep, it's going to be really interesting to see how the Falcons can do. It all starts Saturday against Caldwell, and then Logan, we've got the 5A Southern Idaho Conference, where Owyhee won the league at 11-1, and then you had a three-way tie for second between Mountain View, Middleton, and Eagle. They all went 9-3. And then you had Timberline and Bora each finished 7-5, and Rocky Mountain and Capital each finished 6-6. So that is the top 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The top eight that are all kind of pretty close together. The official seedings with tiebreakers and everything: Owyhee's the one, Middleton is the two, Eagle is the three. They all earned byes into the double elimination portion of the bracket. And now we have play-in games set for this Saturday, Logan. It is number 13, Centennial, at number 4, Mountain View, number 12, Meridian, at number 5, Bora, number 11, Boise, at number 6, Timberline, number 10, Nampa, at number 7, Rocky Mountain, and then the 9-8 is CUNA at Capital. I'm not going to ask you to pick a dark horse, because there's eight teams that all finished like pretty well within each other this year. There are a minimum of 4 bids available, and then there could be as many as 6. Whoever finishes basically 5th and 6th, right, the districts will have to win via play-in games. I want your prediction on how many teams qualify from this bracket. First of all, give me your 4 teams that are going to get the auto bids.
Brandon, this is just like the SIC in basketball. Right, where you could see a 2 or a 3 like Meridian in basketball not make it. So look, if everything goes chalk here, right? Capital's the 8. So if everything goes chalk in the play-in, that means Capital would play Owyhee in the first round. Guess who Owyhee's one conference loss was to this year?
Right.
Capital. I did, like, okay, here we go. Right. And then if Rocky Mountain beats Nampa, so you're telling me that Rocky Mountain, you know, that's a 7 seed going in the middle, that they could win that game. You know, I'm not saying they are. I'm just saying, could they? You know, maybe. I mean, based on what Rocky Mountain has played some tough games. They hung in there with Bora. They beat Boise. So I'm not saying any of this stuff is going to happen. Okay, but you wanted my 4 auto bids.
Yep.
I think Owyhee, Middleton, Eagle, and Timberline.
Okay. No Mountain View. Interesting.
I'm probably wrong.
Hey, I'm with you. Here's what I got.
They played. So there's the thing, right? They played and it was 1-0. That was the score when Timberline and Mountain View played, right? It was very close. There's not much separation. There's not a lot of separation between a lot of these teams, because Timberline beat Middleton, right? They beat them earlier in the year. So I'm just kind of going off some of those results, and it's so tough. It's impossible to pick. So I'm just going to take I'm going to throw some darts at the dartboard and maybe something sticks.
Okay. My four auto bids, I'm going to go with Middleton, Owyhee, and Eagle. I really do think the top three.
Yeah. Are all.
And then my fourth one, I've been banging the drum for them all year. I'm a believer in Bora, baby. Give me the Lions.
All right. Hey, they had some big wins during the year, right? They beat Middleton during the regular season. So they've got the pitching to get it done. And, you know, and that's what it comes down to sometimes in the state tournaments or district tournaments is, you know, the pitcher versus the batter, obviously, and whoever's got that good pitcher can get it done. So, yeah, and there's no reason Bora can't.
Now, how many teams get in via the play-in? One, two, or none?
So that's always
who you like.
That's always a tough. I mean, if we look at the latest coaches poll in 5A, right? So Owyhee was one, Thunder Ridge was two, Middleton was three, Mountain View was four, and Eagle and Bora were tied for fifth. So I think, you know, and then Timberline also received votes, and then Madison also received votes. Give me six. Give me six.
I agree. I think no matter who it is, there's just not, to me, and I was wrong during basketball. So we'll see.
I know. I thought it would be six as well for basketball, but yeah, I think it'll be six here.
Okay. I agree. And I kind of like Timberline and I like Rocky Mountain. Mountain View is going to hate me because they went 18-3 this year, Logan. And I haven't picked them to advance to state, and I would love to be wrong, Mav Nation, but I just, give me Rocky Mountain. Give me Timberline.
I mean, it happened to Meridian. It's just, it seems to always happen. This bracket is so big and so much, you know, so much. You get in, really, as long as you win a game, you're more than likely going to be sitting pretty good, right? You win a game. I think it's almost, if you win a game, you at least get to go to the play-in game, right? You have to go two and out to be completely done in this bracket. And there's only two teams that will go two and out. And when you get it all eight, you throw them in, and there's just not that much of a separation. When it really comes down to it, you just never know. Like how Meridian, right? They went two and out at district basketball, like. Nobody expected that, and it did, you know, and Middleton went to the state tournament as a seven seed, right? I mean, anybody had that on their bingo card. So it's not a diss on anybody. It's just based on historical events, it can happen.
Yep. This is going to be a fascinating one to watch. And again, that'll wrap up our softball brackets. Let's just stick with it. Let's just go to the 5A Southern Idaho Conference for baseball. It's a little cleaner. I kind of like this where, Logan, there was a three-way tie for first place in the SIC this year in baseball between Owyhee, the defending state champs, and Eagle and Middleton. They all went 11-1 in league play. They all beat each other. So you had this three-way tie, and this is important because the top two teams automatically advance to state and get to play each other in the best of three SIC championship series. Middleton and Eagle were on the right side of the tiebreaker, Logan. So congratulations, Middleton. Congratulations, Eagle. You've both qualified for the state tournament. They will play in their best of three championship series starting Tuesday night in Middleton. Middleton is the number one seed, so they get to host games 1 and 3. If needed, Eagle will host game 2.
So how about this, Brandon? When Eagle played Middleton, it was a one-run game. Owyhee played Middleton, it was a one-run game. And then Eagle and Owyhee played twice. One of them was a one-run game, and the other was a two-run game, 3-1. There is not a lot of separation between these two or these three teams. And we saw the same thing happen last year between Middleton and Owyhee. Middleton ended up winning that best of three series. It went to three games, and I think it was roughly a one-run game throughout most of the tournament, and they swapped during the regular season, and then so I mean it's a tough draw if you're a Waihi. I don't think they're going to have any problem when they have to, you know, quote, fight their way through the bracket. But, you know, that matchup between Middleton and Waihi, that best of three, should be fun to watch.
Yep. And then outside of that, Waihi got the three seed. So they're into the double elimination part of the bracket here. Rocky Mountain is fourth. Mountain View is fifth. Bora is sixth. Boise is seventh. All of those teams received byes into the double elimination portion of the bracket. And so you had a series of play-in games last night, Logan, between number 13 CUNA and number 8 Timberline, number 12 Meridian and number 9 Centennial, and then number 11 Capital and number 10 Nampa. Here's how those games shook out. You had in the 10-11 matchup, Capital went to Nampa and got the victory 9-4. In the 12 versus 9 matchup, you had again a road upset. Number 12, I'm filling this out in real time because I just realized I didn't do that.
Hard hitting evidence or coverage right here.
Yeah, Meridian went to Centennial and as the number 12 seed got the 10-8 upset. And then the 13 versus the 8, Timberline did win, but it was very close, 4-2. We nearly had three lower seeded teams pull off upsets, Logan. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. That would have been a big upset. I mean, Timberline's one of those teams that can get it done at the state or in the district tournament. At CUNA almost coming through there. So everything doesn't go as planned, right? Almost completely flipped in those. But now the rest of the bracket's filled out for games on Saturday.
Yep.
So and I don't think the weather is supposed to be nice tomorrow. It's nice today, or at least it's supposed to be like super windy tomorrow, I think.
Waihi will host two games. Rocky Mountain will host two games. At Waihi, you'll have number 7 Boise versus number 6 Bora at 11, and then number 12 Meridian and number 3 Waihi at 1:30. And then at Rocky, you'll have number 11 Capital against number 4 Rocky at 11, and then 8 versus 5 Timberline and Mountain View at 1:30. This is a league, Logan, kind of the same deal where two of the bids are already clinched, right? Middleton and Eagle. There are two more auto bids. Whoever gets to this winner's bracket game right here will both clinch spots. And then there are two state play-in spots over here on the backside. So a little easier exercise. Who are the other two teams that you think will be joining Middleton and Eagle at state via auto bid?
Waihi will be joining them. I'm not sure if that one is much of a deal breaker, right?
Right.
You know, a shocking thing. And then I know it's boring, but Rocky Mountain. Rocky Mountain had three losses during the season this year. All three coming to guess who? Waihi, Eagle, and Middleton. And they came within back-to-back-to-back games. It was a one-week stretch where Rocky Mountain had to play those three in consecutive games. They lost all three games. And they did not lose. Well, they lost to Waihi against. They've lost to Waihi twice, right? But I guess one of them was a non-conference game. That second game back on April 16th was only a one-run game, 8-7 against Waihi. So give me Rocky Mountain. Just give me 1-4.
Yep, I'm with you. It's kind of chalky. And then I do think advancing to the state play-in games, I kind of like from this side of the bracket here, this top half, if we're looking at it, I kind of like Bora, the number 6 seed, to get here to a play-in game. And then down here on the bottom, I actually like Timberline, the number 8 seed. So give me Timberline and Bora to the state play-in games. I think in that scenario, whoever plays the team from the East, I think has a good chance to get in. That would actually be, Timberline. And then, you know, that would be Bora, and then Timberline would have to play the second place team from the North. That will be a little trickier, but I could still see six teams getting in from the SIC.
Yeah, I think this seems similar to the basketball, right? Where the team from the East, I think whoever gets the team from the East should be able to win that game. And then the team who has to play the team from the north, that one might be a little more tricky, just because Coeur d'Alene and Lake City are both pretty good teams. I mean, last year, I think it was Lake City came in as the 7 seed, right, and upset Middleton in that first round, that first game. Middleton went 2-out at state baseball last year after winning the SIC, and that's a team that I feel like might be on a mission, Brandon. I know Lucas said last year, or, you know, why he won the state basketball tournament, and, you know, he said they won that tournament the day they lost in the first round the year before. That was the day that was after that game was over, they won the next year, right? Part of me wonders that about Middleton, right? Are they mad about last year and getting skunked, and they want to go back, they want to go out this year and get it done. So, but yeah, I think 5 teams at least make it in from the SIC, potentially 6, like you said.
Who do you like to get to the play-in games?
I like Timberline to get there. And I like Mountain View.
Okay. So you would have,
I know they play each other.
Right. So you're saying basically, cause one's going to advance to the semifinals and then jump up here.
Yes. Cause they will go to opposite. They'll go in opposite directions.
Right. Correct.
Right.
Yes. Yep. You're right. Your logic checks out. So okay. it'll be interesting for sure. We'll see how it all unfolds. Yeah. But again, congratulations, Middleton. Congratulations, Eagle. Both already qualifying. All right. Here is the 4A Southern Idaho Conference. Logan, Skyview went undefeated, 12-0. Bishop Kelly gets the 2 seed. Ridgeview 3, Valley View 4, Caldwell 5. Columbia just got in by the skin of their teeth, that number 6 seed. Emmett finished 7th. Unfortunately, only 6 get to go. Everyone's going to look at Skyview and go, yep, they're the heavy favorites. I will note that Bishop Kelly is lurking, and they went through that weird stretch in the middle of the season where they had to forfeit, a bunch of games. I'm still not sure what happened there, but one of those forfeits was to Skyview. And then when they actually played Skyview at BK, yes, the Hawks won, but it was only 3-1. So
right.
It wouldn't surprise me to see BK at the top here. Either way, 2 bids available to state from this district.
Yeah. And I think it's those two. I think it's those two. Skyview looks really good right now. I mean, they, like we talked about it a few weeks ago, they beat Middleton, right? They won at Middleton 8-4. And then they've kind of been rolling since, for a while, right? They beat Columbia 10-1. They put up 19 runs against Ridgeview. They beat Valley View. They shut out Emmett 11-0 to end the season. So, they're on a roll right now, and Bishop Kelly seems to have regrouped. They have 4 losses, but a chunk of those are those forfeits, right, that they had during the season, and then another one in there to Skyview. So I like Bishop Kelly and Skyview to come out of this as quote chalk.
Yep. And I will say, just keep an eye on Ridgeview. They have played in a lot of close games this year. They've won some and they've lost some. They lost to Skyview 7-4.
Right.
They did beat Bishop Kelly 4-1 just last Friday. So I don't know. Just keep an eye on Ridgeview as well as that number 3 seed. But otherwise, yeah, I think the top 3 are the favorites, and 2 will get to move on. Okay, let's go to the Homedale show here. District 3, yeah, Snake yeah. River Valley Conference, right?
Yeah.
They went 10-0, like a hot knife through butter through this league. Fruitland did play them tough in the 2 matchups. Fruitland gets the 2 seed, so they both have first round byes. First round games on Saturday, Logan. Number 4 Weezer going to host number 5 Parma at 2:00, and then number 3 Payette will host number 6 McCall Donnelly at 1:00. There are 3 bids available to state here.
And
yeah. We like Homedale. We like Fruitland. My question is who gets that 3rd spot?
Yeah, give me Payette. I think Payette has been playing a little bit better than Weezer. They beat Weezer on Monday. They beat them 6-3. They beat them earlier in the season, 14-4, just based on that experience alone. You kind of just throw everything out when you play Homedale, right? you're going to lose to them. They are what they are. But outside of that, I mean, they got beat pretty good by Fruitland. last time they played, hung with them the first time, 11-6 game. Payette, a team that went to state last year, right? They went there. They had a lot of, if I remember correctly, they had a lot of seniors on that team. And, you know, the team's been able to grow and come back, and they're right back looking at another trip to the state tournament. I personally think it'll be Payette that comes out of this.
Okay. Weezer has an outside shot. They just lost to Payette last week in a fairly close game, but yeah, to me, it looks pretty chalky there as well. 2A, Western Idaho Conference Baseball. Logan, hey, just like Homedale, right? Napa Christian at the top of the heap. Surprise, surprise. The right. Trojans have lost once all year. They're 20-1. They went 10-0 in the conference. Their only loss of the season, Logan, came to Fruitland, 11-1. They got 10 runs against Fruitland, but otherwise, right, been smooth sailing. So Napa Christian's the one. Coal Valley Christian is the two. They will play back-to-back semifinal games next Saturday, or actually this Saturday, tomorrow. We have first-round games tonight, Logan. Number 4, New Plymouth is going to host number 5, Melba. Number 3, Marcin will host number 6, North Star Charter. And then tomorrow, Napa Christian will host a double dip. The Trojans will play the winner of New Plymouth and Melba at 12. And then right after that, Coal Valley will take the field against the winner of Marcin and North Star Charter. Two spots available to state from this league. Last year, it was Napa Christian and Marcin who got there, and they both got to the semifinals and both almost got to the championship. But Coal Valley Christian is the team that's been near the top most of the season. Can the Chargers break through and get to state this year?
I don't know, Brandon.
It's tough, right?
I don't know if Marcin isn't going to get it done again. I know that, like, they beat them twice, but you look at what Marcin, you know, their losses, right? I mean, so yeah, they lost to Coal Valley Christian, right, to start, but then, you know, then the game against Napa Christian was close. Then, you know, their last couple of losses they've had, they lost to Payette, who we just got done talking about, a 3A team that we both think probably will make it to state. That was a one-run game. They lost to Coal Valley Christian by 2, and then they lost to Napa Christian by 3. So I get it, right? If I flip it on the other side, you know, you say, well, they beat them, right? If I was talking about them on the other side, I would say, well, yeah, they beat these teams twice, so there's nothing to it. But I'm not comfortable just saying chalk here, just saying, yep, it's going to go like that, because Marcin is a team that played really well last year and, heck, almost won themselves a state championship, right? Like, you know, got all the way there and fell to Malad in the final game. If I'm remembering right, I think it was Malad. Got really close. And I mean, it's a team that was, it had been a long time since we saw Marcin in any sport make it to state, and they did it, and then they made a run. So on paper, I think it's foolish to say it's anybody but these top two, but I don't think that you can discredit Marcin, and we will see how they decide to throw their pitchers, right, and where it's going to line up. Do you play for that game 9, right? Do you try and go for it in game 4, or do you wait for game 9? I mean, it's a week later, right? So you don't really, you know, your pitcher will have had a week to rest. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. But both teams, if they theoretically, throw their best there on Saturday, should have them back for a potential rematch the next Saturday, if that's what happens.
Yeah. We talked about it last year at state. Marcin lost to Malad 1-0 in the semifinals.
That's what it was. Yep. Semis.
Yep. And Napa Christian beat Orofino in extra innings by a run in the semifinals as well. Logan, I liked everything you said about Marcin, but give me North Star Charter to knock off Marcin right away tonight. This is a program that's used to winning. Of course, it was at the 1A level. They have moved up to 2A, and you look in the, they went 2-8 in league. Look at some of these results. They lost to Marcin twice this year, each time by a run, 7-6, 6-5. They lost to Napa Christian by a run, 4-3. They lost to Coal Valley Christian by a run, 4-3. I feel like they're just scratching at the surface, and I think this is their opportunity. Give me North Star Charter. Now, I don't know if they're going to get to state, but I think they're going to get a win here against Marcin. And I think they're going to give Coal Valley a tougher time than people think.
All right. So
that's where I'm going with it.
Okay. Should be. I won't say it won't happen because, you know, anything can happen. I think that the league is deeper than it lets on. I'll say that, right? I think the league is a lot better than it is on paper when you look at records. I think there's not as much separation as it seems.
Yep. I'll go one step further. Whoever loses this game between Marcin and North Star Charter, I think gets back here to the third place game.
I can see that. Yes.
I'm not as big of a believer as in New Plymouth or Melba, and now watch the Pilgrims and Mustangs go out and excel. And again, I would love to be wrong, but that's kind of where I'm leaning. All right. And we'll wrap up here with 1A, Logan, the 1A District 3 tournament with a couple of District 4 teams sprinkled in. Just like in softball, top two seeds get the double buys and automatic bids to state. So congratulations, Lighthouse Christian, the number one seed. Congratulations, Idaho City, the number two seed. They get the double buys. They're both into state. So second year in a row, Wildcats going to state baseball, Logan.
Yeah, and then the second year in a row, right, that we have a team make it to state for the first time, right? Lighthouse Christian, never been to state in baseball. And last year, I think we had Vision Charter was their first year making it to state. So congrats there. And, I mean, those top two kind of are the top two, I think, in Glens Ferry, right? These top three are really strong. Again, we have this conversation every time. We'll see if that equates to anything at the state tournament in terms of beating up on District 2.
There is a clear line of separation between the top four, Lighthouse, Idaho City, Glens Ferry, yeah, the three seed, Vision Charter, the four, and the bottom four that are in these play-in games over here. There were a lot of forfeits this year. In fact, we have a forfeit right away here, Logan. Gem State, the five, was supposed to play Rimrock, the eight. Rimrock forfeited that, so Gem State automatically moves on, and they will play Vision Charter in a single elimination game Monday. All of these games are at Glens Ferry High School. So Monday, 1:00, Gem State will play Vision Charter. Winner gets a spot at state, Logan, because four auto bids are available. So all you have to do is win this game, and it doesn't matter what happens the rest of the way, you are guaranteed a spotted state. So for Gem State, hey, we got to throw everything we can at Vision Charter and see if we can disrupt the field a little bit.
Yeah. Like you said, just throw it all out there. And hey, if something sticks to the wall, it sticks, right? You give yourself a shot. It's going to be difficult, right? They played back on, it was back on the 9th of April. I keep thinking it's April, so I'm saying back in April is difficult to say, but it was 21-6 in that game. So they're going to have to really slow down those Vision Charter bats if they want to be able to do it. But Brandon, I just don't see how it's not the top four that punch their tickets to state. These, like you said, there's a pretty clear line for these four and then everything below.
Yeah, there is one other play-in game today, Logan. Garden Valley, the six, taking on Wilder, the number seven seed. Winner of that will advance to play Glens Ferry in another single elimination game on Monday at 4:00. It didn't make sense to make both of those teams drive to Glens Ferry for this, so they're actually playing this at the Simplot Complex. Do you know where that is? That's in Boise somewhere, right?
I know people, I've never been there, but I know people are always like, oh, I got a game out at Simplot.
It's in Boise, so that's where they're playing at today, 4:00. So,
all right. But today's a great day here in the Treasure Valley. Sun is shining, blue skies. I think it's supposed to be mid-upper 60s. So great day for baseball today. Probably not tomorrow, but today.
Yep. So we'll see. But congratulations, Lighthouse Christian and Idaho City, both advancing to the state tournament. All right. Those are all of the district tournament brackets. Here's Scott Burton, our Magic Valley Prepcast host, in the comments. Hey, I thought I was the only one who did this on Fridays and Saturdays. You know, Logan was feeling left out. He said, let's do a Friday show.
Yep. And I had some other stuff to attend to. So here I am today. Scott, you're not special anymore.
And the rule on Friday is you can go casual if you want to. That's why Logan's wearing that nice Charlotte Hornets t-shirt. Looks good.
I like to wear things for teams that suck. So here we are. Just kidding.
All right. Okay. Yeah.
No, I am a Hornets fan. We just are terrible and we suck. So, but I like the old logo. They should just go back. Why do teams do this, Brandon? Why do teams continue to upgrade their uniforms? Like the Denver Broncos, right? Not that I'm not a Broncos fan, but I know they upgraded them and people had a lot of backlash. And everybody's like, just go back to the originals. Just go back. And I agree. I think that their old stuff looked great. Like, why don't teams just do that? Just go back. If the Hornets would just go back, everything would be, not that their new one's that bad. I like the old Hornets stuff more. Like when I buy Hornets gear, I buy the old stuff. I don't buy the new ones.
Yeah. For the NBA, I am a Miami Heat fan. And before everybody thinks I'm just a front runner, when I was a kid, my favorite player was Alonzo Mourning. And I actually was a Charlotte Hornets fan when I first got started because Zoe was playing for the Hornets. Okay. Then he hit the Heat when I was in like fourth grade. And I was like, oh, cool. I like the Heat now.
Yeah, that was a good choice, Brandon. That was good.
And then from there, you know, once Zoe retired, I just stuck with the Miami Heat because I was old enough now that I've committed to this team. I have to stay with it.
Sports back in the day, I feel like the Hornets used to play on some like random local channel for me growing up. And it was like, whatever happened to that? That was great. The Steelheads do that now. All the Steelheads games are on local TV, which is kind of cool. There's hardly any sports on just local TV anymore. It's all streaming or whatever. Not that I'm not streaming stuff, but I don't want to sound like a old man here. Well, take me back in my day. But teams should just stick with. Though I do must say, if you like the Heat, I do really like those alternate Miami Vice jerseys that they wear with the pink. Those are slick. They're cool. Some of the best alternate jerseys that exist out there. Those are great.
Yep, they nailed it for sure. I think one NBA team actually did go back to just broadcasting their games over a local channel. The Phoenix Suns, I think, did that.
They do that. Okay.
Yeah, they were tired of being, you know, given the runaround by these national, because like Bally Sports and all these Diamond Sports, they're all going bankrupt.
Yeah.
And so Phoenix just said, you know what? We're going to take it back to our local fans. You can tune in and watch for free. And I think that's a smart.
Yeah, that's great. That's good stuff. Yeah. And can you still pick it up like as part of a NBA All Act? Like if I wanted to stream, I don't watch the Suns. So, but I'm guessing if I wanted to watch, if I was a Suns fan living in Wisconsin, that I could watch, I could still stream it on their local channel.
I think so.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyways, you know, and I like the classic jerseys. Like you like the Packers. They haven't changed their uniforms in like 1,000 years. I kind of like that. Like I like when teams have just really basic and they just, and it sounds bad to say, but like the Jaguars, they've changed their uniforms a couple of times and I like the new ones. They're like pretty just basic. I like, and I know people don't like them, but I kind of like the new, they're just, when they had that phase with the half and half helmet, that was hideous. But the new ones, I think, are okay.
I don't know if the
kind of basic and plain.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a more irrelevant team in pro sports than the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, besides the Arizona Coyotes, who now are moving to Utah, which is kind of cool that Utah will have a. I will definitely go when they play the Hurricanes and not root for Utah and root for the Carolina Hurricanes.
I'm just telling you right now, they already have the Jazz. They're getting a hockey team. They are getting a Major League Baseball team. It's happening.
And I like the Orioles. There was no team. I grew up in North Carolina. There's no team. Half the people like the Braves. The Nationals came when I was in high school. So some people picked them up and you know, there was some out. I picked the Orioles. I liked the red and or the black and orange, but I think I would change my alliance to that Utah team. I think I would, because they would be very close, right? Only a couple of hours. I think that would be awesome.
Yeah.
If we had a team like that and like movement or expansion, Brandon?
Expansion. They're going to expand to 32 teams so they can have even numbers. So Nashville is going to get a team. And I think Salt Lake City is pretty much a lock to get a team. So
how could this impact Idaho? I know this is not Idaho high school sports, but okay, the Chuckers and the Boise Hawks lost their affiliation, right, to a major league team. The Chuckers were affiliated with the Royals for a long time. I think the Hawks were with the Angels or the Rockies, one of the two. And neither one has an affiliation. Could that potentially change, right? People want to be closer. You want your team as close as possible. Like, would maybe that just something to think about, right? And that maybe that would change. And heck, maybe even the Steelheads would move up to an AHL team to be the feeder for Salt Lake. I know the Utah, they have their own ECHL team, which will probably, they'll just, that team will, I don't know. I know they change those affiliations all the time.
Right.
But it, something to look at that actually could potentially impact Idaho sports, right?
Yes.
In that, maybe the Chuckers, maybe the Hawks move up, because that would be a whole group of teams that would need, you know, you would need your single A, your low A or whatever. You would need a double A. You'd need a triple A. You would need everything. Right. And I don't know where Boise and Idaho Falls would fall into that, but it would be great to have. Boise could probably support a double A team. They need a new stadium though. That stadium is a stadium that needs, I'm trying to be nice here, that could use a facelift. But Melaleuca Field there in Idaho Falls is great. So anyway, that was a rant about other, but it does affect Idaho. And I mean, I think it would be cool to have some, you know, legit professional sports back in Idaho.
It just was always shocking to me when the Boise Hawks were part of the teams that got cut. Because like Boise is a city that can support a minor league baseball team. And they kept, no disrespect, they kept like the Spokane Indians, which by the way, I'm going to my first Spokane Indians game tomorrow, Logan.
Oh, they're nice.
Class A affiliate. So I'll tell you how their facilities stack up.
Yeah. And there, I mean, like Tri-Cities has a team that is, there's like teams in the area and I don't know if you bump them up. I don't know. Is there a double A league around out here? I don't know. Like
there isn't,
like, there's nothing. Maybe they'd have to be in that league. And I don't know if we're triple A worthy, but man, now if we got triple A is great. We'd have to have a whole triple A is a big deal. Like, I mean, I grew up with the Durham Bulls and I mean, it's a whole big thing, but Boise totally could. The Steelheads, they sell out their stadium every single night. You can't get a Steelheads ticket. If you're not ahead of time, you can't get it. And I think that if we got a team that was affiliated with somebody, that it would take off. Even not that the Hawks need, you know, the Hawks are great. They're super involved. Like my kids had like a reading program with the Hawks and they get tickets and stuff like that. So, I don't know. I think you personally, as a Treasure Valley resident, it would be awesome if we got an affiliated team back.
Looking at the map, I think Idaho Falls could be your low A. I think Boise would probably have to be your high A. Because double A, there is nothing. It's all in kind of like the South and the Southwest. So you're looking at probably like Texas, you know, somewhere maybe for your double A. And then triple A, I think you could go a couple directions. You could go like Fort Collins, Colorado, maybe would be big enough for a triple A, or you could go Arizona. I mean, Utah's close enough to enough states that.
Yeah, that's true. Cause Vegas has a triple A now, but apparently they're going to get the A's.
Right. Oakland, maybe Oakland will be the new
Colorado.
Did you see, Oakland is forming a semi-pro baseball team once the A's leave town, and they're going to be in the same league as the Boise Hawks and the Idaho Falls Chuckers.
Oh, are they going to play at the Coliseum?
They were going to, and they had it all worked out, and then the owner found out and put the kibosh on it. But they had all the paperwork signed and everything, and so they're going to play at another park in Oakland somewhere. But
oh, okay. Well, that's still good for them. I saw this one thing about this Oakland A's fan that he's had season tickets for forever. He canceled his season tickets, but was going to go to every away game.
Yes, I saw that.
good for him. Good for him. Okay, this is all hypothetical. This is like nothing is set in stone. Just I remember when Seattle got their hockey team, right? That there was rumbles about maybe the Steelheads could become an AHL affiliate instead, because really that's an easy drive. And then they ended up putting it in like Palm Springs. Like they started a new program in California. Not that they don't need anything else in California.
Right.
They should have done. And I don't know, again, I don't know if it's attendance, and not the Steelheads do not have a problem with attendance, but do they need more, like a bigger arena for that? I don't know, just something to keep an eye on. This, I mean, obviously there is no MLB team in Utah. There hasn't been nothing signed. Nobody's saying it is going to happen. We're just hypothetically for fun talking, because that would, if it's an expansion, there would have to be new minor league teams, whether it's existing ones that are independent or just creating a new team. I know Ogden has a team that's a part of that, so I'm sure like Ogden would get thrown into the mix there. But anyways, that was a long tangent, but it does impact Treasure Valley sports potentially one day.
It does. That was quite the rabbit hole we went down, but that's okay to do that every once in a while. And so anyway,
it was Scott's fault if he hadn't have said something
really
about casual Fridays, my Hornet shirt, talking about, yeah, Scott's fault.
Yep. I blame Scott. All right. We'll get out of here. Thanks for everybody that hung out. There's still a lot of people tuned in watching. So on your way out, if you could hit the like button or the subscribe button, if you're on YouTube, that'll help everybody else find this prep cast a little easier when they're trying to watch back on replay. But otherwise, thanks for tuning into the Treasure Valley Prepcast, everybody. For Logan Green, I'm Brandon Bainey, and we will see you next time on IdahoSports.com.